I had two great aunts named May. You don't run into the name May very much anymore. But there was a Texas lady named May who confessed to do something that was quite embarrassing to her. A few years ago, she and her husband invited a couple to dinner. Excuse me. And the couple brought a pot of tulips as a gift. Now, May said that those tulips were not particularly pretty. They were in a clay pot with the bulb sticking partway out of the soil, and they were sort of an ugly color. But these were friends whom they saw often, so May wanted to take care of the tulips simply because they were from them. She nurtured this plant. She watered it faithfully, fed it plant food, set it outside in the spring, and brought it back in the house before the first freeze. She says she couldn't throw it away as long as it was still blooming. So one afternoon, about 2 years later, her youngest son absentmindedly reached over and rubbed the tulip petals. "Don't touch those, honey," May said. "It could cause spots." She was stunned by his reply. "Mom, this isn't a real plant." And sure enough, he was right. For 2 years, May had nurtured a silk plant. It did seem exceptionally hardy, she confessed. Well, of course it was hardy. It wasn't real. Have you noticed that sometimes things that are false have a hardier life than that which is real? Why do you think that fake news is such a big problem today? Some people are remarkably gullible. And sometimes people who are pushing fake items as well as fake ideas are remarkably expert at doing so. Years ago in Amsterdam, an art museum put some of its priceless paintings on display next to copies of those same paintings. Of the 1,827 people who took part in the experiment, only 7 could tell the genuine from the fake. That's a big part of the problem. Some of those who purvey falsehood are very good at it. And why not? It's profitable to take advantage of people's good will and gullibility. Ask any good con person. Of course, even nice people fake it until they make it sometimes. This brings us to one of Jesus' harshest criticisms of the Pharisees. "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat," Jesus said on one occasion. That is, they took the position of authority, of teachers. "So you must be careful to do everything they tell you," he said. "But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." That's pretty damning. "Everything they do," he said, "is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long." Just as a reminder, phylacteries were little boxes worn on the forehead and on the arms by those who wanted to display their piety, for these little boxes contained pieces of scripture. And the true purpose of these phylacteries was to keep the faithful ever mindful of the laws of God, to have this kind of intentional discipleship of conscious awareness of God being present in their life and that they are trying to communicate that God to others. They wanted to assist the worshiper in prayer, but according to Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees had turned these phylacteries into fashion statements. It's like you or me wearing a 2-pound cross around our neck, or sporting a bumper sticker that reads, "My God is alive, sorry about yours." The question can be raised about practices like this: is this faith or flash? Praise or pomp? What's the intention behind this kind of discipleship? Now, Jesus was not saying that the Pharisees were necessarily bad people. Actually, by the standards of the day, they were some of the best people in their community. Jesus was simply saying that some people like to put on a show of their religion, and it is not necessarily authentic. Don't be taken in. He was saying that pride of position was more important to the Pharisees than service to the people. Appearances were more important to them than authenticity. Now, obviously, the Pharisees are not the only people who have given in to this temptation to put on appearances. Back in the 1980s, when Italy first began to make seatbelts mandatory in cars, a man in Naples invented what he called a security shirt. It consisted of a white T-shirt with a black diagonal stripe painted across it. Yeah, it was designed to deceive the police into thinking the person was buckled up. But you might remember how much resistance there was here in this country to wearing seatbelts when they were first introduced, and some people still won't do it. Those T-shirts with the diagonal black stripe might have sold pretty well in some places we know. And maybe if you were in a serious accident, a fake doctor could stitch you up. But many people are more into appearances than authenticity, and sometimes it's very hard to tell. It's where we have to look into the mirror of truth about ourselves. There was a young man who worked in an investment house, and he was about to become a father for the first time. He was very impressed by and very appreciative of the interest that his fellow workers showed in the arrival of his first child. They really were persistent in asking him every day. One of them would come up and say, "Well, how's the wife doing? What does the doc say? Any news yet? Many more days?" What he did not know was that his fellow office workers had a pool on when the baby would arrive, and every one of them had placed a bet on when the happy occasion would occur. The interest in his affairs was really concerned no more in him and his wife as it was in the desire to win the office pool. There was an ad that appeared in a small college town paper during the days before the annual parents' visitation weekend. And the ad was sponsored by a tavern that a lot of the students used to go to. And the ad read like this: "Bring your parents for lunch Saturday. We'll pretend we don't know you." And the ad was soon challenged by the college chaplain, who posted his version on the same campus bulletin board, and it read, "Bring your parents to chapel on Sunday. We'll pretend we know you." Appearances versus authenticity. Real discipleship versus a pretend following of Christ. It's everywhere in our society. Have you checked the labels on your grocery items lately? You may be in for a surprise. According to U.S. News and World Report, some manufacturers are selling us the same size packages that we're used to, but they're putting less of their product into them. For example, a box of, and I won't mention the name, a box of well-known detergent that once held 61 ounces now contains only 55. But it's the same size box. Just less soap. How something is wrapped doesn't always show what's on the inside. That is true with people as well as it is with the things you find in the grocery store. The Pharisees, whom Jesus criticized, were into appearances rather than authenticity. Their discipleship had a different intention. It was not to promote the Word of God. It was not to make God known to more people. It was to make themselves look good. That was their intention. And on this point, Jesus was the very opposite of the Pharisees. He was concerned about what's in the heart and not how things appear on the outside. I think we've all been there. There was a time in each of our lives when the way we lived was not in accordance with what we said we believed. That's finally the definition of sin, to believe one thing and to do another. You or I lived more in tune with the crowd than with the cross. That happens. We say something with our lips, but our hearts are somewhere else altogether. Our discipleship is fake. The most effective witness we can make to our faith in Christ is simply to live out what we say we believe, to be real people, not fake. Now, we don't have to be religious fanatics to do that. It just means being real. It means living not as fans, but as followers of Christ. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach." It has been said that it is easy to give God 95% of our lives, but it's that last 5% that is the most difficult. And 95% commitment to Christ is 5% short. That's what keeps us from achieving God's dream for our lives, that we would be real and not fake. That critical 5% of our lives. Fake news? No. We've been talking about fake religion today. About discipleship, whose intention is honestly to present the good news of Jesus Christ. Pride of position was more important to the Pharisees than service to people. Appearances were more important than authenticity. Jesus was the very opposite. He was more concerned with what's in the heart and not how things look on the outside. The most effective witness we can make to our faith in Christ is simply to live out what we say we believe and be real, not fake.